Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen.
I'm going to have Amy and Matt help me with a little bit of show and tell this morning for the first part of the service. Amy, you can go towards the back of the church. I would love for you all, even though you're adults, the children are so good at this, to call out what you see when you look at this gentleman.
An old monk.
A beard. A beggar. A dog and a cat. A robe. Collecting money. Wonderful eyes, kindness, hidden wisdom, gentleness. This is a picture that has circulated on the internet at various times. I clicked on it because he actually looked like one of the guests at Street Church in Washington, where we used to offer an outdoor service. And on first glance, it's easy to see his dirty hair and fingers, that he hasn't had a haircut or shaved in quite a while. His coat, when you, sorry, Ed.
Careful.
When you look at his coat is obviously threadbare in parts and ripped in others. He actually turned 100 last year, so whoever said an elderly man was very correct. He also, when you look closer, if you have the benefit of seeing this up close, does have great wisdom and kindness in his eyes, so not exactly sure who this is, but it would be very easy to see somebody who was in fairly desperate straits, despite the kindness and wisdom and gentility of him. I think many of us, if he was on the streets of Barnstable Village, would worry that he had perhaps some mental illness issues, was homeless, wonder where he was going to sleep tonight, because he has the look of a beggar. His name is Dobri Dobrev, and he lives in Bulgaria, in a very small village 25 kilometers from the city of Sofia. Even though he turned 100 last July, he walks those 25 kilometers every day to beg in Sofia. And people assume that he begs for money for himself, because this is what he looks like. But in reality, he has never kept a cent that he's been given. He's given away every single cent to an orphanage near his home village and to restore the Orthodox Church, where he lives in a little hermitage attached to the church. He gets a pension from the government of about $100 a month, and that's enough to tide him over for his needs. And for people who take the time to talk to him, who have encountered him, they experience his extraordinary sense of faithfulness and joy, his complete and utter devotion and dedication to the children who are in such desperate circumstances in the orphanage. What to us on the surface could easily look like poverty, you know, one illness away from extreme fragility and homelessness, a desperate life situation, actually cloaks a life of extreme grace and radical service. Re-encountering his story this week has helped me as I wrestle with what Jesus' invitation is to us in the gospel lesson this morning, where Jesus is asking us to take up our crosses and follow our Lord if we want to be true disciples, and be willing to lose our lives for his sake. I think what Jesus is pushing at with us here is an invitation for each of us to reflect on what are our life situations on the outside of us that can cloak an inner life that might have a very different space and peace to it. When Carl Jung was busy creating his career, becoming this world-famous psychologist, he had a dream. As all of you who have raised families and built careers know, that extreme stress and anxiety accompanies that time in our lives. And in his dream, he was trying to hack his way through a forest. The vines were tripping him up, the brambles and thorns were grabbing onto his clothes. He had a machete sword kind of thing that he was using to whack branches out of the way. He was toiling and sweaty and working hard and resistant in so many ways. And he finally came to a place in the woods where there was a small cabin. And he fought his way up to the cabin. And when he looked inside, he saw a figure sitting peacefully in prayer, having everything that he needed in that cabin. Jung said when he awoke, he realized that that was his true self. And that the anxiety and the stress of his life situation was creating this energy of fight and resistance and slashing and that we all can experience during difficult life situations. When Jesus invites us to take up our crosses, I think we are being invited to fully accept our life situations. Whether it is illness, financial difficulty, grief over the loss of a relationship or a loved one, any kind of turmoil that can ruin your life, frustration that we're going to get another 8 inches of snow tonight, you know, whatever your life situation is that causes you to tighten up, to clench your teeth, to feel that pit in your stomach, can we just fully accept that that is what has come into our lives? When we can accept that cross and stop fighting, we stand a chance of coming home into that cabin in the woods, where our souls and our minds and our hearts and even our bodies can be at peace, where we know that we have everything that we need. Now, a phrase like take up your cross can be very abstract. You know, oh, that sounds really nice. How in the world do you take up your cross? So I asked my spiritual director that a couple weeks ago. And she said, well, Libby, let me give you an example. How many times in the day do you think that the past comes up, regret for something that you said, anger about somebody who has hurt you, frustration that something didn't go the way that you, how many times in the day do you think you struggle with the past? A lot? I'm not sure how to count that. She said, okay. So my invitation to you in Lent is to give up the past. Every time you feel a memory of feeling something from the past coming to you that would create in your heart that resistance, that slashing, that fighting, guilt, hurt, whatever it is, I invite you to say to Jesus, Lord, help me to let go of the past. And then she said, so how many times do you think that you think about the future with fear or worry or excitement or frustration or anxiety? A lot. She said, okay, so I invite you to take up that cross too and say, Lord, please help me to trust that whatever comes to me in the future, you will be with me in that as well. She said, when we can take up those crosses and allow the Lord to bear them with us, we can come home to ourselves in the present. At the 8 o'clock service this morning, Tom Moon shared a beautiful phrase that he heard a physician share this week. I don't know the name of the physician. But this gentleman said that as he worked with his patients, he would say to them, the past is history. The future is mystery. The present is a gift. So as we reflect at this stage in Lent on those life situations that sometimes can define us and frustrate us and anger or create extreme joy and excitement. When we get ourselves wrapped up in our life situations, we can lose track of our true selves, that place where we are most primarily beloved of God, where we have everything that we need. No matter if it snows 8 inches tonight and my flight is canceled and I'm stuck at Logan or whatever might come in the future, at this very moment, I have no problems. I'm with beautiful and loving people. I'm warm. Bob's going to chant the preface in a few minutes. I have no worries. So I invite you to consider your life situation and your life. If we can set down our life situation, asking Jesus to help us with it, we have a chance to come home to our true selves, to our lives, where we are so richly blessed and alive in our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.